Let's finish up the Shara Charata over here. We're in the last paragraph of the Shara Charata, and as Ezra Hashem, we will also try to begin, if time permitting, the 12th Shara, Shara HaKa'as. So first Shara Charata, the last paragraph. HaCharata hi derech l'kol ha'masim ha'tovim. Charata is actually a path toward doing good things, all good things. Meaning a person who has charata means he's a person who thinks about things. It's not just going with the flow. He's thinking about what he's done, reassessing. And this is, you know, a basic requirement for success in most endeavors, is that a person has to think about how things have gone, what could be done better. Every organization does that. Every successful organization does that. Every business, every yeshiva, every camp. You know, at the end, you go back, you reassess what went well, what didn't go well, what could we have done better to make it, to make it go better. And that's what we're supposed to do in our personal lives as well, that we're supposed to think about what went well for us spiritually in our ruchnius, when were we successful, what kinds of things led to our success, and when were we unsuccessful, and what kinds of situations did we put ourselves in that led to a lack of success. Very often the lack of success is not because of the moment where we made the poor decision, but it's the decisions that led to that moment. It's the situation we put ourselves in that brought about that moment where we made the poor decision. Rabbi Razner Shlita has often mentioned the vart about Akedas Yitzchak, that the vart is that the Akedah, it's called the Akedah. Why the Akedah? The binding of Yitzchak. That it's not the Shchitas Yitzchak, obviously it wasn't Shechtim in the end, but that the point is that Yitzchak put himself in a position where he said to his father, tie me down better, because I know that what's going to happen, I'm going to see that blade coming at me, and I'm going to jump, and it's going to be a psul in the car. So just don't jump. No, but once that blade is coming at me, I'm going to jump. So the whole idea was that he knew how to set himself up, how to put himself in a situation where he won't have the option to do the Aveira. So much of success in strategizing about how a person, a great key to success in strategizing about how a person is going to make the right decisions is by making the right decisions before the decisions come up, to make sure that you're in the right situation. Person is trying to improve his davening. So a lot of that has to do with the kind of minyan that you daven in, with the kind of chevra that you sit next to during davening. If you're always sitting next to your best friends who are schmoozing the whole time, so it's going to be very, very hard to get better at davening. But if you're sitting next to people who are serious about davening, it changes your own tefillah. You'll notice when you daven in yeshiva, you daven differently than when you're davening not in yeshiva. In the yeshiva atmosphere, it's just a different kind of atmosphere, and that plays a role in how a person succeeds in life. So a person has to reassess. You look back and you think about. You think about what you've done right, what you've done wrong. Im holich batal midivrei Torah, yischaret al bitul. If a person has been mevatal Torah too much, he should have charata on that bitul. V'yitein libo, lasot b'torah v'kal yicholto, and commit himself to engage in Torah to the maximum of his ability. That's the chiyuv of Talmud Torah, right? The chiyuv of Talmud Torah is to learn to the maximum of one's ability in Talmud Torah. It doesn't mean that everybody has the same ability. It doesn't mean everybody has the same ability to put in the same amount of time in Talmud Torah. Not everybody has the ability. You know, we often use the expression, like the Stipler formulated, that the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is every spare moment, every free moment. But that how you define that phrase is very critical. Hadidei Dor Sameach has a formulation that's maybe a little bit surprising to some people, where he seems to formulate that for some people, every free moment is only like an hour a day or something, because they just don't have the zitzfleish to really do more. And that's their makeup. That's what they're capable of. Obviously, a person has to be honest with himself about what he's actually capable of, and when it's his Yetzer Hara talking. But kol yichalto, based on his ability, that we're expected to succeed to the maximum of our own ability, which often is much, much greater than we think it is. Our own abilities are often much greater than we think it is. I mentioned to you in the past that they say that when Rabbi Eider was Zichrono Livracha was in YU, he was a very average student. And yet he became a great, great posek who contributed tremendously to Klal Yisrael, because when you're willing to commit yourself to maximize your potential, you can achieve very wonderful things. Rav Khan was just telling me last night in the car, I mentioned to a number of you that we were talking about what Camp Keli is all about, and the idea of including special needs and regular needs children all together, and he was talking a little bit about chinuch of children with special needs, and he was talking about a particular yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that was started by a person who has several children who have special needs. And he said it's unbelievable what that yeshiva is accomplishing. So he speaks at the parlor meeting every year, and he says these are kids with special needs that other people would have said it's not worth being mechanich, and they're never going to succeed in Torah, and they're finishing mesechtas of Mishnayos, some of them mesechtas of Gemara. They're able to accomplish certain things. And he said it's surprising. But you know, he had a comment that I thought was just absolutely remarkable. He said, you know, there's the difference between the Vilna Gaon and me is much, much greater than the difference between me and the special needs children, right? Much, much greater. And the Vilna Gaon doesn't laugh at me for trying to learn Torah. The Vilna Gaon doesn't say it's a waste of time. What, that guy's going to accomplish anything? You know, compared to the Vilna Gaon, they know what you mean. It should be a waste of time. So what? We should look at people who have more limited abilities intellectually and say that it's a waste of time for them to, you know, what kind of chinuch you can be able to provide them? No, the Torah is for everybody. On their own level, we call yicholto. A person has to figure out what his yicholas is and maximize that yicholas, that ability in Talmud Torah. If a person hasn't been able to daven, not hasn't been able, but hasn't davened with great kavana, he should regret that. And he should think, what did I do? Meaning, why did I lose out in that tefillah? You know, tefillah is one of those things about, you know, one of the things about being an Orthodox Jew is like, you know, sort of like the price of admission is that you spend a certain amount of time in shul, right? So some people come late and leave early or whatever, but you know, most people don't leave early. They come on weekdays. The in thing is to leave early. You have to get to the train with 20 minutes to spare or whatever. But on Shabbos, you know, people, if they don't like spending time in shul, they just come late. They don't leave early. They just come late. That's what someone commented. I overheard someone mention when I was a little boy. I overheard someone mention to my father, it's great. No matter what time you come to shul, everybody gets out at the same time. So, like, you know, there's no motivation to want to come early. That's an attitude toward tefillah, but that's not the proper attitude towards tefillah. The proper attitude towards tefillah is that we should be maximizing our time. So you're going to be in shul anyway. You're going to be there anyway, right? So it's not about if you're going to be spending your time doing this. So once we're there, maximize the experience. We should emphasize the importance of the experience. Sometimes people have a hard time getting into tefillah. Even people who are very excited about learning, they're intellectually connected to Yiddishkeit, but they have a hard time getting into tefillah. So the answer is not just to avoid it, you know, which some people do, and they'll just sleep late and whatever, or just walk very slowly in a circuitous route, you know, or, you know. That's not the answer. The answer is to figure out strategies for success in tefillah, for figure out when tefillah's worked for us, and how to build on that. And a person should think to himself, the Aruch HaTzaddikim writes, v'yachshov ma'asisi. He should think, what did I do? I just sat there and davening for 40 minutes on a weekday morning, doing nothing, having no kavana for any moment of tefillah. What did I do? Instead of being kone chaye olam haba, I was doing stupidity. I came late to davening because I needed to spend another few minutes on my phone playing something or whatever. What did I do? I was just wasting away, doing nothing, accomplishing nothing. That's how a person's mindset should be. Truth is, that's in this week's parsha. Chazal derived that message from Parsha's Chukas. Pasuk says, it's an odd place to find this message, but Chazal Maseches Bava Basra make the following drasha. The pasuk says, "Al kein yomru amoshlim bo ucheshbon tibana v'sikonein ir sichon." That the moshlim will say, who are the moshlim? Doesn't say. The Archbold translation is the poets would say, "Come to cheshbon, let it be built and established the town of Sichon." So this is talking about in the particular context of how Sichon had to conquer certain land in order for Klal Yisrael to be able to get that land, because we weren't allowed to attack Moab, like a very technical context of how we were able to get the lands that we actually won. However, Chazal Mesachsma Basra have a drasha. Al-Kain Yomra Moshlim. Who are the Moshlim? The people that are Moshel B'Yitzram. The people that overcome the Yetzar Hara. Bo Cheshbon. Bo V'Nasak B'Cheshbono Shalolam, Chazal say Mesachsma Basra. You should make the ultimate Cheshbon, the Cheshbon of the world. What's Cheshbono Shalolam? Schar Mitzvah Keneged Seda. The Hefsid Mitzvah Keneged Schar. Why is it that we pass up an opportunity to do mitzvahs? Because it's inconvenient for us. If I'm going to be doing a mitzvah, I'm missing out on something else, and some other pleasure that life is providing me. And why is it that we're enticed to do averos? Because it's fun, it's enjoyable. In the moment that we're doing that avero, we're getting some sort of enjoyment out of it. So the cheshbon we're supposed to make is, yes, that enjoyment that we're getting from that avera, that may be true, it may be real, but it's so fleeting. And what are we losing out? We can't even fathom what we're losing out. The onesh for an avera, what it does for our neshama, what it does for our future, liolam va'ed, not just the time the 120 years we're on this world. So if you have a long view of things, it's just such a crooked cheshbon to only be looking in this moment and to not realize how much greater the schar for refraining from the avera is than the schar of the avera itself. How much greater the onesh for refraining from the mitzvah is than the inconvenience of the mitzvah itself. You know, that's why the Gemara in the Sakhsod says, Ein adam chote el kei nichnas bo ruach shtus. A person only sins if he's a shota, if he's a fool, if he's an idiot. So what does it mean that a person only sins if he's a shota? I know plenty of people that are very intelligent people, function at a very high level, right? What we call here high functioning, right? And they still do averus. So what does it mean, ruach shtus? A shota, Rav Nevinsal points this out, that a shota is a person who doesn't know how to properly, I mean, a shota could be a person who values all of the right things in life. He values everything that we value, but he doesn't know how to properly weigh the importance of each thing that he values. Meaning, let's say, I value leisure time, and I value family, and I value Torah, and I value tefillah, and I value my relationship with Hashem, and I value my relationship with my children, and I value my Talmidim, and I value all of these things. A Shota might value all of those things as well. But the Yankees, like, that's his number one value. Like, above family, and above God, and above... That's a Shota, right? Meaning a person who, like, will take one thing and will just totally blow it up as, like, the most important thing, and all of the other values are not as important. That's a shota. A person who messes up the cheshbono shalolam, he thinks that, oh, this fleeting pleasure I'm going to get from this avera is so important that I have to take advantage of it, because he doesn't realize how tiny it's supposed to be. That pleasure is supposed to be measured on such a tinier level. Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky, who's an addiction specialist, he's a psychiatrist who's an addiction specialist, so he's dealt with every kind of addict you could imagine. He has stories that you wouldn't believe. But he told one story, he writes in one of his books, a story about a particular man, who was a drug addict, an Israeli guy, to the point that he ran out of money, so he turned to a life of crime to be able to find more money to buy more drugs, to get high for a few minutes, and he ended up at the age of 34 he had already spent 16 years cumulatively in jail, in and out of jail his whole life, just getting caught for one crime after another. Finally, he went through a program that took a lot of hard work, and he got better. He got his life on track. Now, an addict is always an addict, and that's the way they're supposed to think, that it's so easy to fall right back into it, and they always think of it. But he was going good. He really got his life back on track, and he was doing the right things. And his greatest achievement, he said, was that he was walking down the street in Israel, and he found an unmarked envelope with 5,000 shekel in it. And he was probably putter from a Shabbos Aveda on such a thing, right? La Halacha. So, but he found this unmarked envelope, but he had a feeling that he might know where it could have come from. He tracked it down, and he actually found the person that lost it, and he returned it to the person. He did the mitzvah of a Shavas Aveda, even though he was probably Patur. And he said that, like, just a few months earlier, a few years earlier for sure, if he knew that there was an envelope with 5,000 shekel in someone's house, behind a window, behind a door, he would bust through that window, that door, break in and do whatever he can to get that so that he could buy more drugs. Why? What would happen when he'd buy the drugs? He would have a high, and he would be high for a few minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, and then as soon as that high would wear off, he'd feel like a piece of dirt, he'd feel like garbage, and he would regret it. And that was his life. He said, now, this episode, Rabbi Tversky said, the fellow was telling about the episode 6 months after it happened when he found this envelope. He said, now, it was challenging to give back that money, but every time I even think about it, it gives me a high again. It makes me feel great. That it's the long-lasting benefit of that mitzvah. If you've ever done a tremendous act of giving, if you've ever done a giving act that, like, that took something, you know, not just a little thing here and there, but like took something, that took some courage, some bravery, something. When you even think about it, it makes you happy. It gets you emotional to even think about it. It's such a long-lasting impact. That's the cheshbono shalolam that a person is supposed to have. And that's where charata comes in, because charata is when we realize that we messed up our cheshbono shalolam, that our cheshbon was only what was right in front of us. Our cheshbon was not nearly broad enough. If a person gets old, he'll regret that he spent a lot of time below avodas habaris baruch hu, not serving a kodesh baruch hu. Klal gadol tikach biyadcha. Person should take the following rule: Tachshov belibcha al kol davar shasisa va'al kol mitzvah shelo nisharteba. Think about in your heart everything that you've done, any mitzvah you aren't careful about. Tischaret al kol echad b'fnei atzmo, and don't just think of them as a whole. You know, oh, I wasted a lot of time, I did a lot of averos. Take each one individually. V'tachshov, and think about it. V'tiskotet belibcha, and struggle with it in your heart. Eich lo radafti lasos ritzon bori baruch hu. How could it be that I didn't go and do the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know, Chassidus preaches a little bit less of this and more of thinking positively about the future. And that's something we have to be careful, that we don't get crushed by charata. It should be instructive, not crushing. And if it's getting to the point where it's crushing us, where it's depressing us, then it's already becoming very unhealthy. But it should be instructive for us. Rav Asher Weiss said, one of the Chassidish Rebbes, he said all the Al Chayitz and Yom Kippur, but at supersonic speed, meaning like he didn't focus on it, didn't want to sit on it. So a person should think, Eich lo radafti lasu tzon bari baruchu, ve'eich hazafti divrei chachamim u'musreim hatovim. The divrei chachamim are pearls, they're gems, they're there to help me. They're there to help me develop a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. How could I have abandoned that? Nimseis hacharata tikkun gadol l'chol ha-mitzvos. It will therefore turn out that charata will be a tremendous tikkun for a person to be inspired to do all of the mitzvos. Okay, so that's a good stopping point. So maybe next time we'll pick up with the Shara Kas, Ezra Sasha.